This is Marianne O'Connell with FranWise, and you're listening to Social Geek Radio.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Minolto Social Media Management. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio. This is Deb Evans.
And Jack Munson of Minolto Inc. How you doing tonight, Deb?
I'm doing great. And, you know, it's a new year, lots of fun things. But so for the geek it out part tonight, what I'd like to share with everyone is that we had such a fabulous 2015 for Social Geek Radio between being nominated and actually receiving top small business podcasts that we received earlier in the year, and having so many great guests and announcers that we put together 2015 highlights. And each one of the episodes that we chose as what we thought were, you know, the highlights for the year, even though they were all really good, they're posted on the socialgeekradio.com website, and they can be found on Facebook. So we hope that folks that missed some of the 2015 podcasts can go back and give a listen, because they're all pretty cool, and they had some really geeky, fun, educational information to share.
Yeah, it's a nice way to – yeah, you did a great job putting that together on what I think is now your favorite platform still, SlideShare. And so everybody can go back and check it out. You can see some of the guests. You can listen to some of the podcasts. And I guess that opens it up for this week's guest, which will be our first big highlight for 2016. Scott, you got a lot of lot to live up to there, buddy. But I'd like to introduce now the CEO of Scott Monty Strategies, Mr. Scott Monty. How you doing, Scott?
I am doing great, Jack. For a moment there, I thought you were welcoming Ryan Seacrest. Now that he's through the New Year's Eve.
I think you're going to give Ryan Seacrest a run for his money on the amount of exposure you have in the digital world right now. But we'll get into that with all of the different platforms and all of the exciting things that you've got going on.
Yeah, and I this is completely double entendre intended, but I love exposing myself online.
Very good. Seacrest doesn't look nearly as good in a bow tie, I'll just say that. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing now with Scott Monty Strategies.
Well, thank you for asking. So I left Ford Motor Company about a year and a half ago, and for the longest time while I was there, because a lot of the work that I did internally was consultative in nature, I would do stuff that went outside the boundaries of my daily requirements and goals and everything, and I would help departments and executives along with their communication strategy, particularly as it related to digital. And folks there would tell me, well, you should open your own consulting practice. And I kind of poo-pooed it. I always thought, well, you know, I'm doing okay, and I don't know if I could ever think of being outside of a big corporation. You know, I like the trappings and the comfort that surrounds the big corporation. And I left Ford for an agency a little over a year ago. And while I was there, I got a little closer to this notion of being remotely located and doing my own thing. And lo and behold, I just got the bug. And I decided, you know what, if I don't do it now, there's no good time. And in June of 2015, I launched Scott Monty Strategies to help brands and agencies get better at communications, whether it's digital, crisis, executive, or strategy overall. I wanted to put my powers to use for good instead of evil.
Very good. And it's an interesting transition from Ford to an agency to your own consulting practice. I think it must have been much smoother than just walking out the door one day and saying, okay, hang up the shingle, right?
Well, absolutely it was. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I had been doing on my own, you know, while I was at Ford, but still focused outside of Ford, all eventually led to this. It wasn't the intent, but, you know, when Ford picked me up in 2008, I had some exposure online. I had a brand, I had a following, I had a platform or a number of platforms, and I continued that. My site has continued to be a really important place where I express what it is that's on my mind at any given moment in more depth. You know, of course, we all have Facebook and Twitter and you know, the usual platforms to express ourselves on a daily, if not hourly, basis. But my site has been one that has been one I can go back to over and over again for the deeper reaching kinds of, I guess you could call it, thought leadership pieces and value adds that I try to extend to clients and folks in my community.
Do you miss the automotive world, or are you still doing quite a bit of work with automakers and dealers and people like that?
I find myself getting called back into the auto industry on consulting gigs here on a regular basis. You know, I think it will at some point always be a part of me and what I know. And it's a very peculiar industry. It's unlike any other. You know, for a while I worked in the medical device, biotech, and pharma industry. And that has its own quirks and nuances. And I think, you know, with some of these highly regulated industries in particular, once you're associated with them, it becomes, well, I wouldn't say an albatross, but it becomes a calling card of sorts. And it's not something I shy away from at all.
Right. Well, you build up a lot of credibility in automotive. And it seems to me that automotive is one of those things that you're either an automotive guy or you're not an automotive guy. And you're definitely an automotive guy, along with your expanding empire as well.
Well, sure. But, you know, here's the thing, though. I never kind of self-identified as a car guy, because even within the industry, even though, you know, lots of folks are part of the automotive industry, there are people within it that are really car people that live and breathe the car culture and that love everything to do with cars. I'm not one of those guys. I am a student of the industry. And, you know, for me, the opportunity at Ford was great because it came at a time when Ford was in need and when the digital industry in particular was growing. So I was just like a sponge. And, you know, I just saw a post by Christopher Penn last week where he talked about the greatest trait that a marketer can have, or the trait that separates a great marketer from a good marketer, and it is curiosity. Right? And as a news junkie and as somebody who is just innately curious about the world I inhabit, it was kind of like a dream position to be able to come into a new industry for me and to continue to learn about the digital and social industry, which even to this day is continuously evolving.
I think there's something really interesting about that when you're working with customers, whether it's an executive or an entire brand, that you're learning maybe not at the same time they are. You've got to be a little bit ahead of the curve, right? But you're learning it. It isn't something that you've known for 15 years and you're already bored about it and it's not interesting to you anymore and you're just kind of going through the motions. I think that learning and then teaching is all part of the cycle.
Yeah, I think, you know, any good consultant is part teacher as well. And I know we'll probably get into this at some point throughout the show, but one of my other interests in this world is Sherlock Holmes. And you know, had a site and a podcast dedicated to Sherlock Holmes for about a decade. And one of my favorite quotes that comes from Sherlock Holmes, and it can get taken out of context and used against PR people in particular, but when you're consulting and when you're learning on the fly just as much as your clients are, I think this quote is completely applicable. Holmes said, "What you do in this world is a matter of no consequence. The question is, what can you make people believe that you have done?" Right. So instilling that confidence that you know, even if you don't know everything, you at least know directionally where the industry is going or where a particular strategy needs to head, and you know, by virtue of showing that confidence, I think people place their trust in you.
Excellent. And I want to ask a little bit more about the Sherlock Holmes stuff in just a bit. But before I forget, I want to ask about the Week in Digital newsletter. How long have you been doing this, and how did that come about?
Wow, that's a good question. So it used to be called This Week in Social, or This Week in Social Media. And I think I started it about 3.5 years ago. And it started because I realized that folks on my global team at Ford, folks that were doing digital and social on behalf of the company, both agency folks and in-house folks, needed to be up to speed on what was going on in the market. And while I couldn't be everywhere for all of these people, I could give them the tools and the resources that could help them be effective advocates in their own region or in their own department, right? So I started putting together an internal newsletter at Ford that compiled everything that the Ford teams had been doing and then different developments within the industry. I took that industry topper and I just copied it out and started putting it on my website. And I got a lot of compliments on it. I got a lot of people that were really interested in it. As a matter of fact, I created a separate subscription on my site where folks can sign up to get emails that are only that weekly update. And it's up to the point now where it almost equals the number of people that subscribe to my site overall. It's gotten that popular. And over time, one thing I did is I started moving away from the term social for a couple of reasons. One, I didn't want to be branded as the social guy forever because I think there's more to marketing and communications than just social. And by virtue of being on the corporate communications team at Ford, I had exposure to and participated in virtually all of those facets. Right, so I wanted people to understand that I was more well-rounded than just social. So it became This Week in Digital. And then I changed it to The Week in Digital because I started putting it out every Monday morning. I tried to do it every Friday afternoon as a recap of the week, but I found that from a work-life balance perspective, Fridays was a really tough deadline for me.
Yeah, I think there's also something that's more valuable to the reader when you're getting this forward-looking, even though it has, you know, sort of a what was happening over the past week, but it's more forward-looking when you get something on Monday morning and you're saying, here's something to look out for, here's some interesting things happening in the industry. When you put something out on Friday saying, you know, here were the highlights, it's got to get lost a lot more than when it's sort of a Monday morning forward-looking thing, right?
Yeah, you know, Friday has typically been that day when organizations will dump news because, quote-unquote, nobody's paying attention.
Yeah.
You know, the Friday afternoon news dump. But I think you're absolutely right, Jack. The mental state of where people are on Monday mornings is a lot different from where they are on Fridays. And they're trying to get organized. They're trying to think about, all right, how can I accomplish my goals? How can I give my clients what they need? And giving them this additional information, which a lot of people they'll bookmark and they'll come back to over the course of the week. And I'll hear from people throughout, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of things that they found valuable. So you can see it's the utility of it is being drawn out a lot more than something that would land in the inbox on Friday and people just hit delete on because they don't have time or they don't want to read it before the weekend.
Yeah, they're too excited to hit the weekend. I know for myself, it is a Monday morning refreshing. It's like, okay, I'm ready for the week, but first let me dive into this because you have so much content there that I too have to go back and look at it throughout the week.
Well, thanks, Deb. I really appreciate you saying that. And in line with that and in line with the remark I made at the top of the show, I'm rebranding the newsletter yet again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a step away from just being known as digital, right? Because I want to and the stuff that's in there you've probably seen. It covers more than what's just happening in the digital world. It's the collaborative economy. It's perhaps some leadership tips. It's observations about the customer experience, and it's meant to reflect not only my viewpoint but my expertise as well. So now that we're into 2016. It is being rebranded as, brace yourself, The Full Monty.
The Full Monty.
The Full Monty. And the subtitle is Virtually Everything.
Oh, I think I like the subtitle a lot.
Love it. And you're kicking that off now here in January of 2016.
I am.
We're full go on that. All right. Excellent. You heard it here.
We are out in launch. You know, rebranding, even if it's just something as dinky as your own newsletter, you have to think through exactly what you have to do. I had somebody on one of my Sunday evening chats say, well, how are you going about this rebranding? Can you take us through the steps that you're taking? And at first I kind of poo-pooed it, thinking, well, I mean, it's just I'm getting a new name and I'm referring to it differently and I've got a new logo and, you know, that's about it. But now that I think about it and now that I've gone through the process, you know, I mean, there's everything to do with my email host. There's my Flipboard magazine. There's the tags that I use on my site. There's the kind of commentary and promotional stuff that I've received from people, compliments and whatnot. There's a lot of components across various properties that I need to consider as far as the rebranding. And I hadn't really given it as much thinking as I think it deserved. You know, it's classic consultant play right here, where, you know, you're giving your clients all this great advice, but you're not eating your own dog food.
Right, right. Very good. And speaking of the Sundays project that you mentioned, tell us about that. Sundays with Scott is the hashtag, and people can find this on Facebook, right?
Yeah. If you go to facebook.com/ScottMonty, that's my personal Facebook profile. And if you don't feel like friending me, that's fine. And you know, Facebook only gives you so much bandwidth for friends. You can follow me. And what I do is I do a live video, which was made available to me through the Facebook Mentions app. And about, I guess it's about 3-4 months ago now, my Facebook account was verified. I got a notice from Facebook that said, would you like a verified account? Okay, right? So I just had to send in some information that it was really me. And by virtue of doing that, it unlocked the Facebook Mentions app. And the feature there that really intrigued me was this live video feature. Now, I had been considering doing some kind of live show on Periscope or Meerkat or something along those lines for a while. But my challenge was, I'm not a selfie kind of guy. I don't like being on my own. If that were the case, I'd have had my own podcast for a long time by now. You know, my Sherlock Holmes podcast, I do with a colleague, and I appreciate that back and forth banter that you can get. So I figured, well, what am I going to do that would really set me apart on video? I mean, I don't think that people would tune in just to, you know, want to see me walking around somewhere. You know, if I was at Ford still, well, I could take you behind the scenes. I could take you to the factory. I could take you up to the CEO's office. There could be some pretty interesting things, right? Take you to the behind the scenes at prepping for a press conference at the auto show. That would be interesting to people. But a consultant, what's he going to have to do on video that's really compelling? So when Facebook Mentions came along, I thought, well, here's an opportunity now. And it's tied in with Facebook, where I get a lot of traction from my website. And I see a lot of traffic coming in by virtue of Facebook. And I thought, well, why don't I tie it in with the newsletter? And again, live video, you want to give something to people that they can't get anywhere else. So I thought, well, let's let people in as a preview to what's coming in on Monday morning. And I'll get in depth in a couple of topics that I want to, you know, riff on a little more than I plan to in the newsletter. And then get the commentary going back and forth. You know, the beauty of Facebook Mentions or the live video is that you can see people commenting in the stream. And if it's not overwhelming, you can try and keep up with it and actually make it a two-way conversation. So I started that, as I said, about 3-4 months ago, and it's been growing steadily. I love the fact that Facebook allows you to go back to the original link. Right, it's not one of these things that's just live for 24 hours and it's gone.
Yeah,
I love that I can take the video and embed it as a topper on my email or on my site for the Full Monty update. And so if you didn't tune in live, you can still get that in-depth commentary. Even if it's not a preview now, it's still more valuable because it's in-depth commentary.
And you know what I like about it, what you said about not having a co-host like you do for your podcast, but in essence, you really do have a co-host. It's all of the guests who are coming on to write a comment, because as you're sitting there in, I assume that's your office or the Monty Cave or wherever you're at, you're communicating with all of these people who are jumping in to answer some questions and ask you questions, and you do trivia, and it really is like you do have a co-host, but it's the audience who's the co-host.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I got a comment on my, I can't remember whether it was on my newsletter or on the video later on, where someone said, hey, you know what would make the interaction with the audience even better is if you planted, if you ask people what question they might want answered before you start the video.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in the announcement that, you know, tonight we're going to be tuning in at 9:30 Eastern time, ask people to seed it with questions and start that out as your conversation starter. And I thought, wow, that would actually be a really interesting approach rather than, you know, this cold opening.
That's a great idea. Where else can people catch up with Sundays with Scott or the newly retitled The Full Monty? Is it you've got it on your blog. You've also got it on Flipboard, right?
Yeah, Flipboard Magazine, which I've got that embedded on my site as well. But I found, you know, scottmonty.com, obviously, Flipboard. And if you sign up on scottmonty.com, you can get it delivered directly to your inbox. And there's a couple of things there. One, as far as Flipboard is concerned, I found that to be just a wonderful resource for, essentially it's a bookmarking tool.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really working it the way it can be worked, it's a wonderful curation tool. And I'm working on a piece right now where I'm going to share exactly what I do for curation. You know, and again, it's like people want to know about the rebranding. They want to know about curation and how that works. So bringing people behind the scenes and helping them understand your thought process is it's a valuable content play. And you know, the thing with Flipboard, like the newsletter itself, it's how you choose to arrange things, and it's the associated commentary. And I haven't used Flipboard deeply for a lot of the commentary, even though you can offer some sort of perspective when you post a link to Flipboard. I like to bring that all together and provide the commentary in my newsletter, right? So it acts as a repository. It allows me to organize my thoughts and see the content kind of all laid out there. And I act almost as a newspaper editor used to. You know,
sure.
What's the front page going to look like? And what are the lead stories going to be in each news section? You know, and it's almost like putting out a paper every week.
Right, right. That's fantastic. We've got a few questions for you on some current trends that we wanted to get to real quick. First of all, what was the biggest leap forward, in your opinion, in digital marketing in 2015?
Well, I think we've seen great progress in both how brands are dealing with Facebook and understanding Facebook more and getting the most out of it, and how Facebook is enabling brands to do so. The analytics and the insights that Facebook is sharing now are much deeper and help companies make better decisions when it comes to their ad spending or the content they want to generate. So I think that's something that I continue to watch very closely. I don't think Facebook is in any danger of petering out anytime soon. And that includes the mentions that you hear of teenagers leaving Facebook in droves. they're also joining Facebook in droves.
Right, right.
It's still a very, very important place for them. Not to mention that Facebook owns many of the other apps that they would use in lieu of Facebook, whether it's
right.
Instagram or WhatsApp or whatever the next happen next
right
happens.
Or whatever they buy in the coming year for next year. Right. Is there anything
right.
that you saw in 2015 as far as a platform or a new technology or some marketing tactic that's really taken off that really surprised you that you didn't think really would have caught on?
Well, two. One, and this shouldn't be any surprise because everybody's talking about it. I think Snapchat continues to be of great interest. The thing about Snapchat is it's not very intuitive if you're familiar with most of the other major platforms. It's more of an intimate and private kind of tool. Obviously, there are brands, publishers, and news outlets that are part of that have stories. But just the whole user interface and how people interact with each other there is vastly different from anything I've ever been on. And I had dinner with someone a couple of weeks ago, and she said she didn't really understand the full power of Snapchat until she got a tutorial from her 8.5-year-old nephew.
There you go.
That should tell you everything you need to know.
Right.
So if you're taking old-style brand content and approaches and simply slapping it on top of Snapchat, that's not going to work.
Wow.
And is that why advertisers have struggled so far with it? I mean, I know there's a few that are doing well with it, but compared to the other platforms, there just seems to be this paralyzing fear by a lot of brands.
I think that's part of it because it seems foreign territory. And again, this isn't anything different than any of the other platforms that you have to be a user to really understand how it works, right? It's not just about bringing in your media buying team and bullying your way in. And believe me, here's the other thing. It was really expensive to advertise on Snapchat. $750,000 for ads is what they were calling for.
Wow.
And part of that, I'm sure, was to just kind of hold off any flood
of
brands coming on board. But at the same time, that was really choking up the system as well.
But so there's something interesting about that, too, that if it was just like every other platform, if it was just another knockoff of Facebook or another knockoff of Twitter, then what do we need it for? So I think the fact that it is so different either could give it long life or it could be a very short-term thing. And it seems like it's growing.
Yeah, I think it absolutely is, and that's good news. I think if anything, if this helps agencies and brands start thinking more like consumers rather than like, well, how do we fit a 30-second spot in here? If it helps them to think like storytellers, then that will be a very, very important development.
Very good. And you said there was another one from 2015 that surprised you.
The second one, and this is... It's not a new platform, but it's recognizing the power of a platform that's been with us forever. There was an article recently in The Guardian that claimed that 2015 was the year of the email newsletter. Now, I'm not terribly surprised about that, but what has surprised me throughout the year is to see exactly how popular this has become in the face of being on Facebook, being on Twitter, being on Snapchat, wherever else you want to be. Email has still been the workhorse of the industry. Now, why is that? I think, one, it's because people still use email. Believe it or not, most of the civilized capitalist system still uses email to communicate. The second thing is, you can be guaranteed of not only delivery of email as far as a provider, but of the receipt of the content that you're looking for on whatever regular basis it is that you're expecting it versus the haphazard algorithm that Facebook serves to you or the river of information that comes through Twitter that if you're not there at the right moment or if it doesn't match up correctly, you're not going to see the content.
Right.
So in terms of of predictability from the provider standpoint and predictability as far as the reader standpoint, it's become an incredible tool for developing relationships and delivering content.
Very good. And let's talk a bit about trends you see developing for 2016. What's sort of the biggest thing out there right now that, that you think everyone needs to pay attention to?
Well, I think analytics continue to be incredibly important. More and more of what we do happens online. And, you know, you've got the ability to measure everything now. And it's deeper than just traffic or impressions, right? So I think that's an incredible opportunity that stands before us. I actually recently shared a link about the future of digital analytics, and it gets into all those points and more. The other that I think is really interesting is this competitive landscape of artificial intelligence. And when you combine that with the things like programmatic and more of the scale that we're looking for, this notion of the personal virtual assistant, whether it's Siri or Cortana or Google Now, everybody seems to have an AI play. And Facebook's M now, right? As part of Messenger. That's been rolled out only to the San Francisco area right now. But again, it's machine learning with human interaction. I think we're going to see some incredible advances over the next year or so with artificial intelligence.
Excellent. And one piece of advice that you would give any marketer to do right now to get ready for 2016?
Well, it's never too late to dig a little deeper to understand exactly where your customer base is spending its time. We spend far too long chasing after the next shiny object. And we spend far too long trying to find new leads when the answer is right at home and it's staring us right in the face. Your existing customer base is probably the best resource that you have in terms of helping you understand trends, helping you understand how people use your product. Lean into them. Develop a deeper relationship with them. Find out what matters to them. Make sure that the whole retail experience with them is right. Because you may be inadvertently driving people away simply because you're not as well informed as you might think you are. It's a great time to stress test and to make sure that you're directionally, at least, heading in the right way for 2016.
Very good. Thanks so much, Scott. This is Social Geek Radio, and our guest tonight is Scott Monty, CEO of Scott Monty Strategies. In the couple of minutes we have left, tell us about any upcoming projects or events or anything cool you're working on.
Oh, well, it's always cool stuff with me. I've got client work that takes me all across the country here. Working with some global retailers, working with some agencies. I'll be speaking. Let's see, what have I got coming up? I'm speaking at the High Five Conference in Raleigh-Durham in early March. I'm blanking on where I am next month, actually. I know there's a couple in February. But, always looking for opportunities to either keynote or moderate panels or even MC events. Part of my business is not only consulting, but is public speaking as well. And love to bring the message out in front of a group of people and, get their reaction in person.
Very good. And if people
are face to face, right?
Yeah. And if people would like to see your face and have you join their group for something, where can they get some more information on that?
Feel free to go to scottmonty.com, navigate around there. You've got stuff about speaking, consulting, the newsletter, you name it. So,
and even Sherlock Holmes is somewhere on the website, right?
That's a good point. I think it's there may be a quick link there somewhere, but if you're interested in the Sherlockian side of me, Head over to iHearOfSherlock.com.
Say that again. It's
iHearOfSherlock.com.
iHearOfSherlock.com. We will check that out. Scott, thanks so much for joining us tonight on Social Geek Radio.
Thanks.
It's been a pleasure, and we look forward to chatting with you again very soon.
Thanks,
my
Scott.
My pleasure. Take care, Jack and Deb.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.